He's still whispering. He's still whispering, Pastor Don. It is amazing how we're prone to listen to that whisper, and yet God has it written right here in His book. I told that young daddy, pastor daddy, that lost his little baby in mama's womb last week. I said, sir, you need to understand something about what I'm saying. If I pray for 14 people and they die of cancer, you better believe I'm searching out number 15, because this can't be. It's got to change, because God's word says they can live. I am not going to write some other book called My Word. God. Oh, God, that hit me. I'm going to believe His Word. How dare me be so presumptuous that I raise my experience above His Word when He's raised His Word above His name. Come on, I'm preaching good right now. I hope you're getting this. God, I feel it. Don't us be so deceived. We raise our experience above His Word. God's so intense about His Word, He raised His Word above His name. I told Him 14 people could die of cancer. I've laid my hands on Him. You won't find me saying, well, you know, I just need to pull back and find balance. God's just not really saying what it seems like He's saying here. Or people would have been healed, you know. Why can't we ever suggest that we need more of God? Why can't we ever suggest that it needs to be less of us and more of Him, and that we need to be consumed by His Spirit and filled with a revelation? I would be probably not too far off to say that almost 99% of the time we pray because it's the Christian thing to do, but we're moved by the problem, not the covenant we have with God. Almost every time we pray, it's because there's trouble and we're hoping God answers. Rarely do we pray and face the trouble because we're in the Christ. There's a big difference. And that's where God's working with me on, to just see that all the time and come at it from the perspective of God. Not just because I can, but because I'm born again. And I'm in His image, and He said, subdue. Okay, yes, Master. You get it? And these signs shall follow those that believe. That's so convicting to me. How can we say we're believers if there's no signs in our life or church? Come on, I'm talking straight. How can we say we believe if there's no signs? We say, well, you shouldn't chase signs. It doesn't say. It says they follow belief. Signs follow you. As you're believing, signs are flowing. You get it? It's just good. I feel real clear. There's just something came on me called the Holy Ghost a little while ago in a little different level. I feel real calculated and clear. Because there's lies that encroached in. And they're stealing and eating our lunch, and we don't realize it. There's little glitches in our thinking. And God, that's why we teach and encourage and exhort, so we stir one another back up in love and good works. It's the will of God to heal and restore humanity. Some people won't endure. They got itching ears. They'll actually listen to teaching that requires no faith. People don't want to be challenged. Yeah. You start preaching purity and sanctification and living for God, and a lot of people don't want to hear that. You start preaching surrender and lay down your life, and if you're not for Him, you're against Him, and if you don't gather to Him, you scatter. A lot of people don't want to hear that. They want to come up with questions like, once saved, always saved, and well, I'm still born again, and start defending their violated consciences. I mean, just think how we are in this. He says, believe and be baptized and you shall be saved. He said that. No preacher preached that. Jesus said that. And we say, well, do you need to be baptized to be saved? Who's ever heard that question? Well, do you need to be baptized? Jesus said, believe and be baptized and you shall be saved. So why is it even a question? Just believe and get baptized and follow the Master. But we turn, we all want grace and we want freedom, and then we ask legalistic questions.